A little over a week ago, on a Friday morning, I got up early and was working on this sermon with the television on. When suddenly a breaking news story flashed across the television screen of the local news program that I was following. A three-year-old was missing. Her mother had left her in the vehicle with the engine running while she went inside to get her little sister. And when she reappeared a few minutes later, both the car and little Christina were gone. In an instant, this family's life had changed. Their little girl was lost, and their lives were suddenly filled with great anxiety, despair, and anguish. What could I do but say a prayer, hoping for God to keep Christina safe until she could be reunited with her parents? Thankfully, 3.5 years later, she was found safe and sound and warm. I cannot comprehend the joy and relief that her family must have felt. When interviewed, the mother could not contain her emotion. And I believe that I was not alone that morning when I said another prayer of thanks to God for bringing that little lost sheep back safely into her fold. In our gospel reading this morning, we heard of the three parables of being lost: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal, or the lost son. As I pondered this text more closely, I wondered if the sheep, the coin, and the son were the only things lost in this text. It is very easy for us to understand the definition of lost flashing across the definition of lost when we see an Amber Alert flashing across a television screen. But can we not also be lost even though we may be surrounded by our family, our friends, or our community? Who else is lost in this parable? When the younger son returns home, the father is overjoyed and ecstatic at his return. His son had been lost to him. He had committed sin, but repented. And now he returned home, pleading for a job as a lowly hired hand in order to begin to repay his father. The older brother, however, is not overjoyed. In fact, he is angry and even outraged that your son, for he cannot even call him a brother, has been allowed back home. He was a self-disciplined son who toiled day after day after day in the fields. He was the good son who obediently stayed by his father's side, and he was not even offered a goat to share with his friends while his brother got the best fatted calf on his return. What had he done to deserve to be treated so badly? Wasn't he the faithful one? Shouldn't God love him more because he was in fact the good son? For many years, I read this beloved parable and believed that the younger son was the greater sinner of the two brothers, that the younger son was the only one lost in this parable. But was he? Yes, it is true that the younger son committed sin. He asked his father for his inheritance, which would have been disgraceful for both the father and the family. An inheritance was only given when the father died, not simply because the son wanted to go out and see the world. By demanding his inheritance, the younger son effectively removed himself from the family and was dead or lost to them. He continues to sin when he squanders his money both lavishly and quickly. After all, it only takes him about half a verse to do so. The younger son is now penniless and in a hopeless situation. He has no money, no job, and no food. Having no other choice, he is forced to find employment feeding pigs, which were considered unclean, resulting in yet another sin according to the law of the Torah. The ancient hearer would have felt that the younger son had indeed sinned greatly and was therefore estranged both from God and his family. But upon coming to himself, the son realizes his sins and returns home to see his father running towards him with his arms outstretched in love. The father then wraps his arms around his son and forgives him with no explanation needed. He was loved. The sins he committed were forgiven, and he was welcomed back into the fold with a celebration of the fatted calf, with all of the community invited. He was simply loved. The older son has been obedient to a fault, but for what reason? Has he done it out of the goodness of his own heart? Or has he been obedient simply because he wanted to feel superior? He believes he is better than his younger brother and expects his good works to pay off for him. But he will always feel he is giving more than he is getting, which leaves him bitter, angry, and resentful. In ancient times, it would have been honorable for the older brother to go looking for his younger brother, to find him and bring him home at any cost, so the family could be one again, so no one would be lost. But he did not go look for him. He cannot forgive his younger brother. He was like the Pharisees who wanted Jesus to stop eating with the sinners and the tax collectors mentioned in the beginning of our text this morning. They could not forgive Jesus. The elder son is lost in the resentment of the way he has been treated in his own mind. He does not understand the forgiveness that the father has for his younger brother. We never find out if he joins the party. We never find out if he repents and to see if his anger turns to love and rejoicing in his brother's return. So what is Jesus trying to tell us in this parable of the prodigal son? It's rather simple. God's love for us never fails. Yes, God loves us, warts and all. God loves us when we screw up, when we don't like ourselves, when we're tired or frustrated with the world that we live in. God loves us when we have a fight with our spouse, our families, or our co-workers. God loves you, and God loves you, and God loves you, and you, and you, and you, and you. I feel a little bit like Oprah. You get a car, you get a car, and you get a car. But that is the good news. That is the gift of grace that God has given to each of us today. God invites us to the party, to the celebration, and to the rejoicing. But we must decide whether or not we want to show up. In the beginning of our text this morning, the Pharisees are angry with Jesus because once again, he is eating with the undeserved, the unclean, and the unloved. But that was what Jesus did. Jesus ate with them because he loved them with an unconditional love for all of humankind. He ate, he celebrated, he rejoiced. How do we as fellow Christians and believers emulate that unconditional love Jesus had for the sinners? No grand gestures are needed. It is as simple as Matthew 22, verse 39 states. Love your neighbor as yourself. Show kindness to others. Bake an extra meal for that new neighbor across the street or someone you've heard is feeling unwell. Smile at the person beside you on the bus who perhaps looks different from you. Donate what you can to a local charity or food bank. Stand with those who have no voice and be their voice when they cannot speak. Each and every one of us can make a difference. Each of us can show God's unconditional love for our neighbor. The father in the parable of the prodigal son loved his sons, loved both of his sons unconditionally, just as Jesus loved the sinners and tax collectors. How about you? Are you ready to celebrate the joy of finding those who were lost? Or will you simply stand at the door, waiting? Amen.